You're preaching. I want to meet with the young people a little bit after service tonight, and in reverence to their, just be respectful for the families and let them go. Amen. Let my people go. Amen. Amen. Have your Bibles. Go ahead and turn to the book of Ezekiel tonight. Ezekiel chapter number 37. Pray for Brother Freeman. He is battling a really bad toothache tonight and just out. So y'all pray for him, and he'll be back with us real, real soon. Just miss him all the time. Love Brother Freeman. Appreciate his faithfulness. And he loves his pastor.
Amen.
I can say that without a doubt. Brother Freeman loves his pastor. And he'll call me up sometimes. He said, Preacher? I said, yeah. He said, I just called to tell you I love you.
Amen.
And I guess the biggest thrill I ever had with Brother Freeman was he was sitting there one Sunday morning. And he said, I just got to stand up. He said, Preacher, been going to church, been saved. He's told me, you know, he's been saved for 30-something years now, 35 years with me. And he said, I just want to say something. I said, what? He said, I've learned something sitting underneath you. I said, what's that? He said, I've learned that this book is right. Amen. And he said, and that encouraged me as a young, because, I mean, he's been in church, been saved same amount of time. I mean, he's my senior in years. And for him to say that, I just encouraged my heart that he would learn that from this pastor, that this book is right. Amen. And it is. Amen. I love this book. I love the Word of God. It is inerrant. It is preserved. I believe we have the very preserved Word of God. Amen. And I believe it's as real today as when the ink was still wet, when the scribes were penning it for the very first times. And I believe it's just as real and just as applicable to our lives as it ever has been. Y'all take your Bible every now and then. In fact, let's just do it right now. Just going to tell you something you ain't never done before. Anybody, how many's got a Bible? How many's got your Bible with you?
Amen.
You ought to bring your Bible. You ought to bring your Bible. Listen, I know when people are blind, completely blind, brought their Bible to church. Now, we couldn't read it, but just to have it with them. Now, here's what I want you to do now. I want to do something you ain't never done before, probably. I want you to take your Bible and just put it up to your chest. And squeeze it real tight and thank God for it.
Amen.
I've done that before. I've stood in hell and said, Lord, I sure do appreciate having this word.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Ezekiel chapter 37. Let's all stand tonight. And this is a very familiar scripture in Ezekiel, probably one of the most known passages in Ezekiel there is. I know that I've preached at least one other time on it. I may have preached other times beside that. I preached on, can God fix what we've made a mess of at one time years ago, but something like that. I preached on that, but I won't be preaching down that exact same line tonight. This Bible, I'm not changing, don't change it at all. Just you learn and grow, and you see more as you go back to it, and I began to study on this afternoon, got a real simple outline, but I'll try to give you what Lord's given me. And the more I looked at it, the deeper I got, the more I learned from it. And y'all smile tonight. I mean, it makes it hard to preach to sour people. I mean, look across there and everybody's like, well, I'm here. Amen. Don't be like that. If you don't, y'all, what if I looked at you like that? Amen. You'd say, Lord, what's wrong with him? Well, I feel the same way. I look out there and you're going, I think. I look right there and Miss Joyce was doing, she's not, Miss Joyce. Don't. But if I look back there and Miss Joyce was going, out of this whole crowd, I'd pick her out and say, Lord, what's wrong with Miss Joyce? And then it gets in your mind when you're trying to preach. You're trying to figure out what in the world's wrong with Miss Joyce. I'm not afraid of your faces, but it does affect me. You say, well, I'll not affect you. Well, the Bible says that God sees our countenance. And if it affects God, it's going to affect me. Amen. I'm surely not up to his level. Amen right there. And but smile sometime. It won't hurt you. Amen. Amen. Look at it with me. Verse number 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said to me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and Skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he to me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. And I'm going to ask Brother Ty to lead us in prayer. Please pray for me, Brother Ty. Amen, amen. You can be seated tonight. I want to preach on tonight on God give us a burden for the bones. God give us a burden for the bones. I was looking at this study, and I was studying, reading what others had said and what others had said about it and reading myself. And I began to just write down three things, 3 points tonight about this verse, about these verses. And I just want to preach on those, about getting a burden for the bones. The thing about this is God gave this burden to Ezekiel. God moved upon him and gave him this burden for these bones. I believe there's 3 stages. I believe there's 3 stages to getting a burden. I believe there's 3 stages. I believe, number one, the first stage, I want to preach on that tonight, the first stage is submission. I don't believe anybody gets under a burden that is not submitted. In fact, I believe it's impossible to get under a burden unless you're submitted. The more I've thought about Brother Elijah, the more I've thought about our small devotion as far as my part was in it, the more I've thought about that, the more I've been moved about Peter praying and how God prepared him, but he was praying to be prepared. He was praying for something. It doesn't even tell us what he's praying about, but he's praying. And then God prepared him to be able to say something to those Gentiles, which normally a Jew wouldn't even speak to a Gentile. And God had to prepare him. And so I believe there has to be a submission in our lives to God to seek his face. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray and seek my face. Look at it with me tonight. Number one, on the thought of submission, I want to look at verses 1 through 3. And I've got at least 6 things on submission that happen. Then I'll give them to you very quickly. But notice what it says in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me. I believe, number one, in submission, there must be God must monopolize our life. He must monopolize me. The Bible says the hand of the Lord was upon me. He was on Ezekiel's life. He was on him. He put his hand on him. He was getting ready to do something with Ezekiel, and he was in control of Ezekiel. And I think a lot of times people want God to use them, but we won't let God monopolize us. We won't let God just have all of us, you know. We want to give God Sunday morning, Sunday night, maybe Wednesday. We really want God just to be able to take us at any time, at any moment, and do anything with us. And in submission, you have to get to the point where you want to be monopolized by God. You don't want nobody else to be in control but God. And when you're that way, God can do something special in your life. God can do something, Brother Freddie, special in your life when he has full control. And we see this in this verse. He said, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Now notice this, he says, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. Now not only was he monopolized, but he was moved. And God said, I've got you, amen, and I'm going to move you over here. And he's willing to, and he's able to. And so God grabbed Ezekiel there and moved him, carried him out in the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Now he wasn't casting him out, he's carried him with the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And so he's monopolized. God was completely in control, monopolized, completely in control. And because he's in control, God could move him anywhere that he wanted him to move. Amen? The third thing about submission is this. I believe that God has to midst us. M-I-D-S-T. I figure I'd get a look up, brother. Brother Nance said, what's that word? Amen. And I thought about it several times, how to write that and say that. I just said, I'm going to write it just because it's there, right there, in the Word of God. Look at it with me. It says, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Now notice this. He monopolized him, he moved him, and he midst him. He put him in the middle of where the burden needed to be. Amen, Brother Ty. He didn't move him over here somewhere and tell him about the burden. He had to put him in the valley where the burden was. And if we're going to be submissive to God, we've got to allow God to put us in the middle of where the burden is. Amen. I think a lot of times we want to see a video strip, film strip on it. You know, God, show me a film strip on what the burden should be, and then I'll, you know, if it looks good and that's where I want to go, we'll try to work at that. No, that ain't the way it works. Submission is being monopolized by God, is being moved by God, and then being mixed by God. Let God take us and put us right in the middle of the valley of dry bones. Amen? Fourthly, I believe that God has to march us. Look what it says in verse 2. And caused me, now let me back up, I don't believe it, I know it, because it says so here in the Bible. I felt for some reason when I said that, I said, I believe. I felt like somebody pushed back and said, yeah, but that's what you believe. So I just go ahead and fix that right quick. It's not what I believe, it's right here in the book. Let's just read what the book says. The book says in verse 2, and caused me to pass by them round about. I believe that God has to march us around to see the burden. March us. He didn't say just drop him in one little place and see these bones here and there. But he moved him around that place, marched him around about, made him look upon all those bones and all those pieces and all those dryness and all those things. He had to see the entire field to be in submission to God to get the burden for the bones. Would you agree with that? God did it. So, you know, there must be a plan in this. God must have a plan. And he must know that he has to monopolize our life. He has to be able to move us. He has to be able to midst us. He has to be able to march us. And then fifthly, he has to be able to mesmerize us. Notice what it says. Verse 2. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold. You know what the word behold means? It means look. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo. That means look here again. Lo. What were they? They were very dry. Now what is happening is, he has not only been monopolized and moved and put in the midst and marched, but now he's starting to get the point of this thing that there's a whole lot of them there and they're very dry. They're very dry. In other words, it's been dead a long time. Been dead a long time. It didn't just happen. They've been dead. Amen. They ain't just had a bad day. They didn't get a little suntan. They were dead. And they're completely dried out, and there's no life in them whatsoever. And it mesmerized him. He got the fact of how dry they were and how many they were. And just a valley, wide open valley, many. In the open valley, it says. I read in 1940, they asked the teachers in the schools, they said, identify the top problems in America's schools. And here's what they identified them as: talking out of turn, chewing gum, making noise, and running in the hall. That's pretty standard at church now. Amen. In the 1940s, that was the biggest problem written down by the teachers. Brother Tony, isn't that something? Let me read them to you again. Talking out of turn. There was a time when that was wrong. Talking out of turn. Chewing gum. Some of y'all want to get you. Let me give you a piece of paper. Making noise. Some people make noise at church. Bother other people in church while they're trying to listen to the Word of God. I feel like sometimes we need to take the pulpit down middle aisles and preach from middle aisles so they know we're all here at church. Y'all hear me? I'm saying it's a problem. And it says, and running in the hall. And that was the biggest problem in the 1940s. In 21 years ago, in 1990, they asked the teachers, says, what's the biggest problem in schools? You know what they said? Drugs, alcohol, pregnancy, suicide, rape, and assault. You hear what I'm saying? 50 years difference from chewing gum to taking drugs. And so, how do you get a burden for the bones? You have to be put in the midst of it, and you got to understand how bad it is. And how dry and dead and hopeless and helpless they really are. Amen? That's the way you get a burden. And the first part is it comes from submission until God gets us mesmerized with how bad it is. Still have your Bibles open? Look at verse number 3. I'm telling you right now, you need to pray for our school teachers. Those that got jobs in the class, they ain't got no moms and dads. Ain't mom and dad sent them to school. Ain't got a bit of direction. Ain't, Brother Tony ain't got a bit of guidance. Ain't got nothing. They don't fear mom and dad. They don't fear nothing at church. Listen, they ain't no use to be surprised how schools are today because it's how the homes are.
Right. Amen.
I mean, it's not, there's some problems in school and there's some teaching doctrines in schools that are wrong. Amen. We all know that. I thank God I had a biology teacher when I was in school. We got over there. We was going through biology and we got to the chapter. This is the honest truth. This happened in Piedmont High School. I'll tell you her name. Her name is Miss Lee. And to this day, I think she's the best teacher I ever had. And I said to Miss Ball, and she wasn't an older lady. She was about a middle-aged lady. Taught the best biology class. I could sit her, she could just talk and I could make A's. About the only class I ever had I could make A's in, but I could make A's. She could talk and I understood her. And she made it where I got it. And I loved that class. And if you didn't like biology, that's all right. You should have sat under Miss Lee. I didn't make A's many times, but I can make some A's there. In biology, me. Miss Lee got over chatting. We flipped on through there. And you know what? Biology is eventually supposed to teach in the public schools, don't you? They're supposed to teach on evolution. That's one of the chapters of the book. Now, don't tell me it ain't so, because it's so, because I was there when it happened. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. Miss Lee said, whatever that chapter was, I'm going to say 21. She said chapter 21 is on evolution. I'm not going to teach it. You can read if you want to. Chapter 22. God bless Miss Lee, wherever she is tonight. Had a whole suit of 30 class. Not one of them had to listen to that false doctrine. And it's a religion. It's a false religion, and it's wrong. It's wrong. You hear me? And just pray for her. Amen. I don't know where Miss Lee is, but pray for Miss Lee. Amen. I hope where she is tonight. I don't know her whole life, but I pray God bless her right where she is. Amen. We must be mesmerized on how dry the bones are. And then fourthly, we must be minimized. You say, preacher, minimized? Yeah, to be submission, we have to decrease and he has to increase. Look at verse number 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, and I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. He said, I don't know, but you do. One of the only ways we ever be submission to God to get a burden for bones, we must understand that it's all about His work and not about our work. And it's not about our ability, but it's about His ability. And it's not about how good we preach or teach or sing or lead a song. It doesn't matter what we do. It's all about Him. And if He don't do it, nothing will be happening anyway. I'm just giving you some simple thoughts tonight on this. But I'm telling you tonight, until we are in submission to God and we are minimized by who we are and maximize who He is, we'll never get a burden for bones like we ought to. I read a little thing by Georgia Ann Gayer. She wrote a book on bits and pieces. And she wrote this in September 17, 1992. There are 20, on page 23, if you ever find that book. And here's what she said. She said, I've come to the conclusion that it is impossible to have a moral community or nation without faith in God. Because without it, everything rapidly comes down to me, and me alone is meaningless. She said, you have to have faith in God in it, because if you don't have it, it all comes down to me, and me by itself is meaningless. You know what she said? She said, we have to be minimized, and He has to be maximized. Same thing John said, I must decrease, and He must increase. Amen. And so the first thing tonight is we see Ezekiel coming under the submission of God, being monopolized, being moved, being missed, being marched, being mesmerized, and being minimized. Amen. And now he's ready to do something. Now he's understanding the burden. You still have your Bible? Look at verse number 4 through verse number 10. Look what it says. Number 1, we need submission. Number 2, we need an operation. I mean, now that we're submission, We need to know how to operate, right? And there must be an operation. Listen, a burden that doesn't do anything is useless. Let me be clear here tonight. We should pray for the lost. But we shouldn't stop there. Amen. Ain't it easy to say we need to pray for the lost? But that's, you and I know that God didn't keep us here just to pray for the lost. If that's all we need to do, we've done that from heaven. In fact, we could have not even prayed. We just could have spoke to him. So we know that God's not into lifestyle Christianity. Y'all know what that is, don't you? I just live it, and everybody see me, and they'll just want to come to church and get saved. How many has that worked with lately? How many has that worked with lately? How many hundreds do you see walk into the house of God just because somebody lived it across the street? I'm not saying it never happens. But I'm saying how often do you see that? Amen. Do we agree with that? It just don't work. Should we live that way? Oh, yeah. But not for the purpose of winning souls, but because we're saved. Amen. Don't that make sense? And so we're not careful. We get in. Oh, I just live it. And no, it won't work. It won't work. And so listen to what he says here. There must be an operation. I didn't know this was going to get this big. Look at verse number 4. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, God has a perfect way of doing things. And the first thing is, he says, I want you to use the inspired word. I want you to prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Amen. And so in order, the perfect way is use the inspired word of God. Amen. Amen. Use the inspired word of God. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Amen. And then not only use the inspired word, but there must be an inspired work. Look at what it says in verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And so there must be an inspired word, and then there must be an inspired work. Amen. And thirdly, there must be an inspired witness. The Bible says, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Amen. And so after a person gets life and breath and skin and flesh, and God makes them living again, these bones, the first thing they want to do, they know that God did it. Amen? They know that God did it. Now stay with me because we are going somewhere. We see in this operation there is a perfect way. Number two, you said, preacher, I knew all that. I know, but sometimes we need to hear it again. Amen? There is a perfect way. And the perfect way always starts off with the Word of God. Amen? Number two, there is a presented Word. See, it's one thing to know what you're supposed to do, and it's another thing to do it. Amen, Brother Ty. Amen. That's so simple. Amen. We want people to get saved, but if we're not taking the word to them, they're not going to get saved. Amen. You agree with me on that? All right, now look at it with me in verse number 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Amen. As I was commanded. And so he is a herald of the word of God. He prophesied as I was commanded. Now watch what happens. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. And so as he was heralding the word of God, there's a happening. And things are starting to get organized. And they're starting to gather together. And they're starting to get together on things. And it's starting to look like something. But there was no breath in them. So here's the thing. A preacher can preach the Word of God and create a movement. A preacher can preach the Word of God and there can even be an outward change in some people's lives. And he can gather them together for a cause. And he can organize them in preaching the Word of God. But he cannot give them breath. And he cannot give them life. I know the night. Miss Tracy, I know the night. I can do a lot of things. One thing I know I can't do is save anybody. No, I can't. But I'm commanded, just like Ezekiel was. He's told to prophesy, and we're told to prophesy the word, and we're taught to preach the word. Is that right? And so we have a herald and a happening, but they're still laying there in that horizontal position. There they are. They're just laying there. All those bones are all together, all covered with flesh. They got their skin on them. They're all put together. Got the muscle, but they're still dead. Now notice what happens. He says, "Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." Now the first thing he tells them, here's what I want you to do. I want you to prophesy or speak to, I want you to speak to man on God's behalf. And that's what he does. He speaks to those bones on God's behalf. Is that agreeable? He speaks to them on God's behalf. And that gets them together. But they got no life. He said, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to prophesy to the wind. I want you to tell the wind to blow upon them and bring them the breath of life that they may live. Now here's what it does. Here's what we need. Church, get this. We need preaching so we can get what God wants to say to man. Alright? We preach. I hope y'all get this tonight. We preach so we can tell man speaks to man on God's behalf. And then we turn around and pray. And we speak to God on man's behalf. See, here's how you get a burden for bones. Here's how the operation happens. We need preaching, but we need praying. We need preaching so the truth will get out. We need praying so the breath will get in. Amen. Amen. Y'all see what I'm saying? And so everybody plays a key part in things here. There must be preaching, but preaching without praying still leaves them all dead. And so not only do we need to speak to them on God's behalf, but we need to speak to God on their behalf. And we need to win the blow. Y'all know the wind, the Bible, always a picture of the Spirit, don't you? Amen? And so we have the praying for the Spirit in verse number 9. And then verse number 10, so I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet. And we see they're living by the Spirit. We prayed for them for the Spirit, and the Spirit blew, and they're living by the Spirit. They're all standing. And then notice this, an exceedingly great company. Crowd? Group? No. Army. Army. Brother Freddie, we ought to pray for the Spirit for them. Then the Spirit comes and they're living by the Spirit, and now they're equipped to be fighting in the Spirit. So I'd sure like to have some help around here. Well, we're going to need some preaching and we're going to need some praying. And then we won't have to fight this battle by ourselves. Brother Fred, how many years did you sit on the front row by yourself? Long time. Good to have him. Miss Crystal moved up tonight. I said, ooh, you live in dangerous ground. It's good to see her up here tonight. Hey, do y'all understand what I'm saying tonight? If we get our preaching and we get our praying and God starts moving, won't be too long. Got to fill up the pews and get the work done. He needs to get done. Hey, let me tell you this. If you ever win somebody, Lord, they kind of like to hang around you. You like me, Brother Freddie? I still like you. Sometimes when he walks in the door, he just makes me smile a lot. And I probably grin at him a lot of times. He thinks, well, I mean, he grinned at me all like that all the time. Because I got to lead him to the Lord. And I ain't never got over, and I hope you ain't never got over. And God did it. Preacher didn't do it. I was there when it happened. I was glad to be there. But there's something about being around somebody that helped you get in. You just like to hang around them. And then all of a sudden, you like to go do things together. You know, I like going to witness them, but we need to do that again. We need to go knock them Mexicans' doors down. Amen. Get some in the house of God. Amen. 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 I mean that thing. I like it, man. He says I scare him. He says, Bridge, you scary. But, you know, just something around hanging around Christian folks helps you. I mean, when you're scared to go fight that battle, something about having somebody with you just helps you. Just helps you. Just encourage you. Sometimes when you're weak, just being around somebody else will help you and strengthen you up. You know, me and Brother Tony, I was pretty good. Brother Tony always took the dogs. All the dogs come to Master Preacher, so you didn't have to worry about the dogs. They always come out of the preacher. I don't know, just something about being around each other. Something about being around each other encourages each other's heart. Something about them standing up and being like an army. Like Ezekiel's not there by himself anymore. There's a whole crowd there. And they're a great army. So there's an operation. Preach it and pray it, and God does the work, doesn't he? Amen. Now, here's the last point. In order to get a burden for bones, there must be submission. Number two, there must be what? What? An operation. God's got a plan. Number three, there must be a nation. Look what you notice this. Look at verse number 11. Then he said unto me, see, this is a bit of vision. He showed him a vision of this. He said, then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. That was a nation who's near to Ezekiel's heart. He didn't say they were somebody else. He said, they're your nation. Amen. They're your nation. And he says this. He said, behold, they say our bones are dry and our hope is lost and we are cut off for our parts. He said, they're our notion, not only they're a nation near to our heart, but they're a nation that has no hope. They're just looking for somebody to tell them that there's hope. And thirdly, notice what he says in verse 12. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold all ye people. No. Behold all my people. You know what you prophesy? We need a nation. There's a nation that needs to hear that God cares. There's one thing that America needs today is they need somebody to tell them that God loves them. Now, I'm telling you, our nation is doing some wicked things and has done some foolish things. And be honest with you, we've sat back and, man, that's awful. But we've done very little to help change it. Let's just say amen right there. Amen right there. And so we must tell them that God cares. And then he says, look at this. He says, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves and shall put my spirit in you and you shall live and I shall place you in your own land. And then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. And he says, Ezekiel, I want you to understand. This is your nation. They are near to your heart. And they have no hope. They need some hope. And they need to know and hear the truth that God cares and God can. And God is willing to. But what does that take from us? It takes submission. It takes an operation. And then we have to see our own nation. It's just as simple as that. We've got to see what's right outside our door. What's across your street and my street and down the road. I passed one of my neighbors today. I had a brand new sport car. Me and my wife passed my life. Strange. Never seen them in a sports car before. I mean a sports car. I mean a Corvette blue, royal blue Corvette. I mean a new one. I didn't know. I had neighbors had money like that, or had money like that. And I passed him the car, and she said, "Oh, he's taking his wife for a cruise today." I said, "Yeah." And then I thought about it. You know what? As far as I know, His wife has went to church by herself ever since I know him. They got a brand new cruising car. But she's got a husband that's so far from God. In my own neighborhood. We've got to see our own nation. We've got to get a burden for the bones. We got to get a submission that God can put us in the middle of it. And let us see how bad it really is. And minimize us to where we don't know how to do it ourselves. And we'll quit trying all these other ways of doing it. And then we'll do it His way. What's His way? Preaching and praying. Oh, preacher, we do that. Do we really pray? Do we really pray? Oh, preacher, we have prayer time at church every Sunday afternoon. Well, unless you checked it lately, there's 7 days a week. And the Bible minimizes that we ought to pray in the morning, at midday, and at nighttime. The Bible teaches that. We ought to have at least 3 times a prayer. I'm not talking about praying over your meal. I'm talking about praying. We really won't see it. Listen, if I'm not preaching the gospel, if I'm not getting through, start with me. Start with me. Pray for the preacher to get the right message. Pray that I have the right burden. If I'm not doing, pray for me first. That's where it needs to start. Start me. I'm okay with that. But if I'm preaching, then you pray for them. And if we get the word out, all I can do is organize them. I can tell them how they ought to be. You understand? That's all a preacher can do. He can tell them how they ought to be. And they may get some of that, but ultimately it's the Spirit that's got to breathe on them. And then the army rises up. So I'm just asking you tonight. Praying to God and said, oh God, give me a burden for the bones. Give me a burden for the bones. I'm going to open up the altar tonight and let's pray for that. I'm just going to ask a prayer request to the pastor. Let's ask God to pray, help us to have a burden. Our nation's in trouble. Not only our nation, but our world. Brother Freddie, how often in the prayer room he asks us to pray for his mother and father back in Mexico. They need help. They need to be saved. Amen. Others around the world. Missionaries that we support. I mean, there's nations out there. Where do we say the mission field is? Across the seas. Across the states. Across the street. We just need to get God to get a hold of us. We can say, God, I want to pray for that person. I don't want to sit at church and figure out, you know, if so-and-so's dressed right, because God beat the tar out of them if they're not dressed right. Preacher, preach. Don't worry about preaching. I don't want to worry about where so-and-so. You say, well, should we? Oh, yeah, pray for them while you're praying. But listen, while you're doing that, get on your knees and pray for lost souls. Nobody's going to hell because they're wearing flip-flops. You understand? Nobody's going to hell because of wearing flip-flops. I'm not against flip-flops if I ain't wearing them, and I don't want to hear them. Amen. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying don't worry about those things as much as we could be concerned about lost people. And that we get them underneath the gospel and they get saved. And don't leave it to the preacher, because the preacher, the best he can do is tell them what they ought to do. That's the best he can do. He can organize them. Miss Trace, that's as far as I can take it. And all they'll do is they'll be all dressed up and no place to go. I've seen churches like that. Spirit didn't do anything, but they're all dressed up. And that's not what we want to be. So you will not just pray for help me, pray for me. And then pray for me that I can reach, that I have the right message at the right time. And then pray that the Holy Spirit breathes through and brings life. You do that. And not just pray tonight. When we leave here, get a burden for bones. Let God put you in the middle of them and see them how bad they are. God, open my eyes how bad, what bad a shape this whole world's in. Sometimes we are blessed so good, we can't even see how it really is. We're blessed so good. And Father, I kneel before you tonight, and I thank you, Lord, for what you did for me on Calvary. I thank you, Lord, for reaching out and saving an old sinner like me when I was nothing, nobody, had nowhere. God, I thank you for the preacher that preached the night I got saved. And Lord, I'm glad he told me what I should do. Lord, I'm also glad that the Spirit moved in.